Welcome to the Dirt Life Show with your host, George Hamill.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? We are going live today for IMG Motorsports. You can see all of it. We're going to talk about car builds today. Although the screen is backwards, but we're going to talk about car builds today. We are going to get our buddies, Brent Gilliam and Billy Slade, on, talk about their frustrations and everything with their car build. So join us and hang out. We're going to have a good time. Man, we got so much stuff here at IMG. Renault 134's car right here. Lots and lots of builds. But it's going to be a good time. So let's get the boys on. We're going to have some fun talking about building cars.
Let me set this up.
What's going down, homie?
What can you see?
I can see your pretty face. Brent Gilliam, what's up?
How about that?
Chilling, man.
How are you guys?
It's I'm sweating, bro. It's 105 in my garage.
I figured I'd try to be like you guys and have all these builds going on in the back, but I don't count, though, because I'm not working on any of them. These are all.
I'm not going to lie right now. Like, seriously, my eyes are, like, burning from the sweat today. It's just been gnarly. Yeah, dude.
It's 100 balls over there.
We're losing weight.
Now you're going to be at fighting weight, so when you go do the jump contest at YouTube,
that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I needed to diet anyway for the new race suit, and this is, I'll just go sweatshop it in the garage for 2 weeks.
Brent had to make suit one size too small.
Yeah, dude, goal weight. I had to make it to goal weight,
All right, so we're going to talk about some pretty fun stuff today. I'd like, when I talked to you guys earlier this week, I was like, shit, man, they're going to take whatever time, let's just say half hour, hour to do this Instagram live. But man, dude, that half hour could be totally used to get you guys with your cars back going again, man. You guys have a lot of work to do before you
I got up early and I already put 10 and a half hours in on the car. We made some solid progress today. So I'm feeling really good about it.
Hey, in my defense, Brent also went to bed at like 6:30 last night. The sun was still out shooting a text, and I'm in bed.
It was totally light out, dude. I couldn't hang. I did like 10 hours, and I hit a wall. Like, wife came home, she fed me, and then I was sleeping on the couch in like 3 minutes. She's like, let's put you to bed. I was like, okay. Oh.
Dude, that's the way that it works, though, when you're doing that much on your cars, dude. Like, we actually talk about this a lot, like in off-road racing, not necessarily, well, I guess it's the same basic context, is that like most dudes work a 40-hour work week and then they come home and work on their car for another 40 hours that week and they barely make it to the races. I mean, that's how all these cars here at IMG are. So I can only imagine the stress level you guys
have. It's been a challenge. I mean, we started this build a good 3 months ago. I was like, oh, dude, we'll have plenty of time. And here we are 9 days from departing. Like, there's no car behind me yet. So at least.
That's crazy. Is yours kind of the same way?
Yeah. Can you see it in the background? Yeah. There's I mean, I think the hard part is just with limited products out there, even, planning a build these days is things happen. I've gone to backup plans and then backup plans for those backup plans. And good thing I had them in place to begin with. But, it's stressful because, you kind of like check something off the list. You're moving forward and then you have to basically go all the way back to the beginning and kind of start over on certain aspects of it and work your way forward again. So.
That's a good point to bring up because like a lot of things have to.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah. And maybe it's parts or pieces or colors or, some things won't work, some parts won't work with other parts. So those are always the hard parts. I would say no matter how much you plan a build out, you have to be fluid and you have to be, willing to basically sacrifice a little here to get a little there and kind of maneuver around the obstacles rather than just being stuck on one obstacle.
Yeah, like to Billy's point, I think more room to sacrifice stuff. I mean, we're building a race legal car. He's essentially building a SEMA show car to go. So like, all of his stuff is like, it can't be stacked. Like, I'm ripping parts off and throwing them in the corner on top of each other. Like, I'm like, oh, those have scratches. I don't care.
Yeah, but I mean, it all kind of goes to the same, I don't know, in the same context, though, because you basically, you have to really do it like one piece at a time. Like, Brent, you're doing a whole motor swap. Like, there's stuff that can go wrong when you're doing that motor swap. You might need a $2 part, and that part could be back.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Monday, we thought we had a bent valve in the motor. When we tore it down, there was something further, you know, wrong with it internally. And the guys over at SF Raceworks, they hooked me up. They're, you know, new partner of mine. They're building out my race cage. Those guys are a solid bunch of dudes. And I was stressing out. He called me on Monday. He's like, dude, we have a brand new race motor that's stock that's just sitting on the crate. He's like, come pick it up, throw it in your car. We'll figure out your motor afterwards. And it was like my saving grace. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my God, those guys are so awesome. So, but, well, it's,
plus,
you know,
he got a race
stock, but just cleaned up a little bit. But, got the motor in, and then I'm waiting on two gaskets to finish the install on it. Got a water pump gasket and an engine oil cooler gasket that's supposed to be here hopefully tomorrow. So it's definitely, it's
Oh yeah. Can you get stuff done in between?
I, you know, I got the whole car rewired today, put new radios in it, all the underglow in, built new wiring harnesses for that. We worked on,
Wait a second. I heard a, it's a, what do they call it? I don't know. You said underglow in a race car?
You know, because it goes to shows, bro, so it's got to glow at night. I'm not worried about weight.
I got you.
Yeah. We got a stage six Rockford Fosgate stereo in the race car, dude, with four subs. Like,
yes.
We're going to be bumping the whole time. Last year when I raced the Freedom Cup at Glen Helen, I had the stereo bumping the whole time. We you know, kicked butt out there. It was great.
And you did it with a smile.
That's hilarious.
You did it with a smile on your face, enjoying yourself. And the crowd was enjoying the music.
Yeah, I was having a blast. It was great. I was just, you know, threw on some Pennywise and was just raging.
Dude, that's hilarious, man. I wish I had that stuff in my race cars back in the day. Matt, let's see here. Matt Red said, cowboy, he won't even know what
to do. Good old Matt Red.
He does. He'd get himself in more trouble than he already does.
Yeah, we just send it further.
Dude, that's funny. It looks like we got a few comments coming in. So you guys can comment in, too. I know these dudes need some help or maybe some advice even. Or you could learn a little bit from these guys, too. But any tips and tricks that you guys have, shoot them over so we can hear them too. Because I don't know, I can really relate to these IMG guys as well. Plus, hopefully, I'll be able to.
And we don't have all the answers, so don't think, you know, any comment is a good comment. Because I think, you know, me, myself and Brent, we're both just, you know, we've kind of learned along the way, but there's no master booklet saying, hey, this is how you do this. It's just kind of you figure out what works for you. So I'm sure there's some people out there that have some better ways to do it. And if they're willing to share them, we're willing to listen and learn and move forward with better ideas.
Oh yeah. You know, I've leaned on so many of my friends in the industry, like, hey, how do I hook this up? How does this work? What should I do? You know, like, this is my first time changing the motor in a Can-Am. And I was like, all right, let's figure it out and go. And if I get stuck, you know, I just called some of the homies that are in the industry. And where does this wiring harness go to? And they're like, all right, let's route that and just FaceTime, you know? So it's,
dude, that's actually super cool.
It helps out a lot,
to do that.
It's pretty neat.
So what happens, like, let's kind of go backwards a little bit here. So what happens, so you guys plan to do this build or these builds, and you guys have people that are associated with the build. You know, if you have sponsors, you have people that you buy products at a discount, or you go down to your dealership and you buy them at retail price, whatever it is. And you plan to do these things, and what happens when you, like, get close to the event? Are you like, fuck, I'm not going to make it? Like, or do you just push as hard to make it as possible because you have people that want you to be there or sponsors that want you to be there?
I'll let you go first, Brent.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, the pressure's on, right? Like, as we get closer, you really start feeling the stress, especially since, like, you know, UTV Takeover announced me as an athlete. They want me to get there. You know, I already committed to that. And with everything slowing down as far as getting parts in and, you know, feeling the pressure of getting everything done, I feel like I almost commit myself more to it. You know what I mean? I'm easily prepared to go to bed early, to wake up early, to just to spend 12 hours to get the car done. Like, I don't know how many events we've done in the past where we're like down to the wire, just trying to get the car together and get it in the trailer and then still working on it when we show up. You know what I mean? So it's, as far as the pressure goes, you just kind of, I like the pressure. It's exciting. And, you know, it's all worth it once you get in the car and you fired it up at the event and that, like, that euphoria comes over you and you're like, ah, this is why we did it. You know,
yeah.
60 hours and 4 days, like, it was worth it.
Yeah, totally. Hey, before you answer, Billy, it kind of brings a little bit of real life to the situation. Brent's girl just commented in and said, I have a suggestion. Get your kids to rock out of the kitchen.
I got, babe, almost all of them are gone today. I got them all out. See the seats in the car? So my wife has been,
But that brings a whole nother reality of the situation. Like, you know, like for me, I was doing all of my race program out of a garage, you know, albeit a 3-car garage, so it's decent, but dude, there was shit everywhere. Like, no matter what you do, you never have enough space.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, especially with this truck build, with the body, like my whole box trailer has the whole body in the box trailer. So there's no parts I can leave in there. So all the new parts that are coming in, I was stacking in my kitchen, in my dining room. My wife, God bless her, she's just like, all right, you know, clean around these. And she's been absolutely amazing and super supportive. So thanks, babe. But almost all the boxes are out of the kitchen. So you're good.
I was going to say,
there's one too many boxes in there. And she's like, I'm done. Overload. This is it. This is the straw that broke the camel's back.
We had a couple of those conversations during this, but, you know, hey, that's part of it.
Yeah, sick with it all day. Said that their wife, my wife had the same complaint about parts coming in. Hey, maybe what you do is like the trade off is be like, all right, babe, you can order 10 days on Amazon, one part a day, and put it in the garage and take over my space.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea.
All right, Billy. So the same question to you, like, how does it work when you have that schedule, the deliverables, like you can and can't get parts? Do you go by retail for them? Do you work with your partners, like all that stuff? Because it seems like there's a lot of pressure to make it to the event. Like if you don't show up.
Yeah. And I think for me, mine is more a personal goal. Like I said, it was going to be there. And I like to be a man of my word. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think at the end of the day, if I didn't go or didn't have the car there, I don't think anybody would really be upset other than I would be so disappointed in myself that would be the deciding factor for me. So, as far as parts, like I said, you know, like I've had backup plans and kind of contingency plans based on, okay, let's say worst case scenario, this doesn't work out because this is the world we're living in today. You know, nothing is a guarantee as far as parts or timing, things like that. And I've just kind of been, you know, like I've kind of had a backup for certain things that there is no backup for. Other things, you know, you can kind of work around.
Yeah.
And then, you know, last resort is, hey, you know, start calling around to local shops and find out, hey, do you have this, or finding the closest one and then paying overnight shipping to get things here. And I mean, I'm still so far off. I was looking at my phone today and I have 15 Safari pages open right now with tracking information. And like every half a day I go through and hit that refresh button just to make sure it's on time. And I literally have 2 personal pages open on Safari. The rest of them are all FedEx, UPS or USPS tracking numbers, all just waiting for parts. So it'll probably be down to the wire and I'll load this car not finished into the trailer, but I'm leaving Thursday night, getting up to Oregon Friday. So I have 4 days up there that I plan on riding, but if it takes me 4 days of camping and finishing it, I'm totally okay with that too.
You're leaving Thursday?
Late Thursday evening. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, dude.
So
that's way. I'm leaving Sunday morning at like 3 a.m. So I should be there like Monday afternoon. I'm going to take my time getting up there and sleep this time. Last time, Dune and Destroy and I, we just worked all day, got off at 7 and just drove straight through and then got there and unloaded the cars and went and got content. So by the end of Tuesday night, like I couldn't even formulate sentences anymore. I'm so tired. I'm like, I'm not doing that again. I'm going to drive halfway, take a shower, sleep, chill out, and then go the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I...
Dude, that's so crazy that you guys have
A lot, yeah, man. Dude. You know, I have to say thank you to all my partners out there, dude. They've really stepped up to help me get here. Like, You know, UTV Life, SF Raceworks, those guys are doing a great job helping me. And I mean, they gave me a motor, full throttle, desert whips, rugged radios, Simpson seats, Rockford Fosgate, KWI clutches are doing my clutches right now. I sent them my clutches on Monday. They got them Wednesday and they're like, we can't even rebuild these. Like they're destroyed. So yeah. So he knocked my clutches out for me today and shipped them. I should have them next Wednesday. So I'm like, and then, you know, Gator Apps is doing some new logos for us. And we're just, everyone's chipping in to help, you know, help the passion succeed. So it's really cool. I'm really pumped.
Dude, that's crazy though, man. And especially with like the new cars and all this, like, I don't know, the last couple of years with the world being so crazy. It's like, I remember back when we had our Yamaha program, like it was pretty, I don't want to say easy, but it seems like it was easier than what you guys are going through now. Cause we were the, I don't know, parts distributor at the races. So we had all the products. So if a dude needed a product, we'd just bring it to the races. He could put it on, whatever it was, a motor, he could swap it out, what? Like all that stuff. So it was a lot
easier. What did Pro Eagle just say? Then. Oh, that's when Dude and Destroy used the shit out of my jack while we were up there? Yes,
yeah,
they did.
I want to add to that, but that's the beautiful thing about this industry is that even if you have a company that you don't work with, you can call them and they're like, we got you. You know, I mean, that's the best part about this industry is it's at the end of the day, you know, people, it is a big industry, but at the same time, it's a tight knit industry and everybody's willing to help one another achieve that common goal, whether it be, you know, enthusiast racers, you know, characters in the sport, they're all willing to pitch in a hand to help you out, which is a really good feeling. And it's a great industry to be a part of.
Yeah, it makes you feel good just about like society 100%. Almost, you know what I mean? Like we have such a camaraderie in the off-road industry, like all the crazy shit that's going on in the world, that like kind of, you know, detunes that. You can just focus on the good stuff, you know, and just vibe out with everyone that's working on off-road cars and go rip with them. And like the fact that everyone bends over backwards to help a handy you know, give a handy helping hand, it's just it's remarkable, you know.
Yes, and
give a handy hand.
Yeah, and going to events like UTV Takeover, going to those events, almost every single one of those people that go there to even spectate have spent thousands of dollars to be there. And we're all, you know, congregating on one area to enjoy the same thing, which is motorsports at its finest, you know, at an enthusiast level. People go there to, you know, I mean, they're spending their vacation time. They're losing money from work. You know, some people, other people, you know, have, you know, paid days off, but nonetheless, you know, with all the prices of everything, fuel and RVs and, you know, trucks and everything. I mean, it's a lot of money for just the random person to get there, let alone the tens of thousands that will be there. So.
Oh, 100%, dude. I wouldn't be making the journey if 100%. It wasn't for UTV Life and, you know, helping out with fuel and getting me up there to go build content. So it's definitely a team effort, you know?
Right.
So what if you guys had like, let's just say you have multiple cars, or put me as the guy you're giving advice to. I have multiple cars and I need to get this one done. Like, why wouldn't I just give up building this one car, take my old car and then start building it again? Like, am I going to run into the same issue again? Like after it, like, is it better to just keep moving forward?
I have one. Go ahead, Billy.
Go ahead, Brad.
No, you're good. Go.
I was going to say, I think, you know, for the most part, when you're, you know, like a garage builder or somebody that's doing this as a passion, it's not so much of giving up, because giving up isn't in the, you know, it's not in your vocabulary. It's not what you want to do. I think it's one of those things where, you know, for the majority of these people that are building these cars, it's such a passion. Like for me, this is my way to express myself. When I, you know, after a long day of work, some people want to come in and sit on the couch and watch a football game, or, you know, they go out and they do their yard work or whatever it is that they, that's their release. This is my release, being in my garage and, you know, basically putting my thought process and my creativity to work on a machine. So yes, there's stressful days, but I also am stressed out with a smile on my face, enjoying every single moment of it. So.
Yeah, 100%. And then Brent,
well,
about
I've never
you,
been in
man?
A situation where I have two cars to work on, so I'm thankful for that.
Well, like when I think about it, like I think about it from a reality perspective, right? Like the amount of work that you're doing, the amount of time, effort, and money that you're putting in, you literally just go down and buy another car.
You know, I can't go take a stock car and send it 140 feet. So,
exactly. So that's exactly what I'm saying, though, is like, I want to know the difference, because if somebody comes at you and just be like, dude, why'd you put in all the work?
Yeah,
I think it's partly your identity, you know, like for Brett, everybody knows this car. That is his passion. That's his baby. It's like a child. Same thing with my cars. Obviously, I don't keep my cars as long as Brent does. So for me, there's some attachment, but also at the same time. But I think it's one of those things where
he's not calling you old. I swear he's not calling you old.
Yeah. No, I'm just calling this one real young.
Be nice to the girl over there.
But I think at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you had a truck that you just, you know, it was your truck, you know, it was your identity. You built that truck, and just to be like, just go get another one. You know, it takes a lot for you to jump over that hurdle and be like, okay, I'm done with this. I need to move on. And most of the time it's after that, it's to the point where you're kind of like, I cannot, you know, it's almost like because it breaks more than it's showing you joy.
Yeah, well, the reason that I asked that question is because, like, when we ran our racing programs, we would recycle cars pretty often. But when we would do it, the people would say one of two things. Why don't you just get a new one if you crashed it? Or why don't you keep your old one and just fix it? And then I think about, like, on the totally top level of the spectrum, like, Rob Mack just won the Baja 500 in, I think it's an 8-year-old or 10-year-old, maybe even older trophy truck, right? Like, he just keeps rebuilding it. Like, there's a lot of value in doing that. And especially in this day and age, like, Billy, I really commend you, because you're building a car that yes. has no parts ready for
Believe
it.
Me, hey, there's probably about 15 people after next week that'll probably never take my call ever again, because I've called and texted them at least 15 times. Going like, hey, so are those parts ready? So you got those parts? Hey, so when are those parts going to be available? Can I get a shipping? Can I get a tracking number? And sometimes I get a response and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's like a late night email. Like, this guy's definitely not awake right now. I'm just going to go ahead and send this, and I'll get an alert on my phone. I'm like, I'm responding at midnight.
Yeah, I got.
They're like looking at their phone.
I got a lot of those guys. They're like, oh, yeah, that's good. Only me. So,
well, that's actually a good point to bring up, though, is unfortunately this day and age, the squeaky wheel does get the grease. And we always mention this on the Dirt Life Show for young racers and young side-by-side enthusiasts. Like, if you don't keep asking, you won't get an answer.
Right. But I also think with that, you know, you don't want to sound like you have your hand out. Like, I tell every company and every person that, you know, that helps me, whether it be sponsors or anything, how much I appreciate them and how much they mean to me. Because at the end of the day, there's a million of me out there that they could, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, it's one of those things where I'm blessed and I feel fortunate to be in the position that I'm in. And I want to, you know, reiterate that to the companies and the people that help me do what I do.
Oh, 100%.
But also so at the same time, I'll blow them up on
a daily basis when you have... on a daily basis, when you have this stuff going on, networking is key, but no begging. Let's see here. There's a couple other comments come in. They're going by too fast. On a daily basis, Brent, when you're going through all this stuff, I mean, how do you even keep organized? Like, how do you even know what you need to do
checklist.
That day?
If it's one thing I learned from Wilkie, it's make a daily list of everything that you have a goal to get done and just go down that list and slowly check it off. It doesn't matter if you get frustrated or something's not going right. You know, if you need to bounce to different parts of your list to check stuff off. But at the end of the day, if you can complete each one of those lists each day, like, you're taking strides forward. You know, yesterday I was struggling really hard with my list. Today I crushed my list and I'm like motivated and pumped. I'm feeling good, you know? So, but my list for tomorrow has hiccups. My powder coater called me and said his oven broke and all my trailing arms and radius rods and A-arms are all hanging in his rack ready to be powdered, but the cage is done. He knocked out my cage in like a day and a half. So I'm like, okay, do I wait till Monday to get the rest of my stuff, or do I drive down there, get the cage, at least get the cage on, mount the light bars, put the roof on the car, and then Monday drive back down there and start the suspension component. So it's like you just kind of got to move and flow with the list and just, you know, stay positive and just find ways to work around stuff.
Yeah, totally. And since we're at IMG, I'll show you, like, they have a big calendar, a big whiteboard. They got all the purchase orders, all of the stuff, like every single day they come in. I mean, obviously you got the behind the scenes work that happens. Then they have a, even in the lunchroom, they have a calendar that they write down stuff and actually take notes when customers call during lunch, because there's no breaks, right? Like the only break that you have is literally when the day is done, whenever it gets done. So it's crazy how much that organization actually helps when you have all these different.
Yeah. Otherwise you just get too overwhelmed and stuff gets missed. You know what I mean? So it's just like I had this week already planned out last week of what I needed to do on the car. And as I've gone through the week, everything's getting pushed out a couple more days because of, you know, parts availability and whatnot. So I'm just like, I wanted to have the car completely rolling on its own by Sunday. And now that doesn't look like it's going to happen until Wednesday. So I'm like, whoo, we're getting close.
When you run into issues where something pops up and you got to, like, not check off a to-do list item, what do? You
pivot and go on to something else. You know, just as important, and then just keep that item as top priority on your list for the next day, you know?
That's pretty much what Sick Wittage All Day just said, too. So, you know, I mean, like, I can only imagine what you guys are seeing. What these guys deal with on customers' cars every day is pretty crazy, too. It's like the same stuff that you
We have it, I think, a little bit easier because, obviously, at IMG, they have multiple employees, and some employees work on, you know, at a different speed, some slower, some faster. Also, you know, I mean, people do things differently, so – people management on top of these is a job I don't want.
Yeah, totally. But true. Then, when you have good people, hey, look, there's a couple Can-Ams in here too. Found a couple Can-Ams for you.
I can't wait for that new Can-Am, bro. We're gonna have to sell this girl and build another one after the new one comes out.
I saw all that stuff. Hey, quick shout out, sponsor placement on
there. There you go. Nice. Woo. Yeah,
looking pretty good, man. All right, so kind of keep telling us what the process is, Billy, if you kind of follow those same things that Brent was talking about, too, because, like, to me, that organization is crucial, but it never, ever goes as planned. Like,
right, yeah, so for me, what I did on this car, it's been a long time coming that the Pro R was going to come out. So I was like, okay, when it does come out, this is going to be my spare no expense car. And when I mean spare no expense, I mean I went overboard on a lot of features and some double or triple overboard.
They're so sick though, dude. They're so sick.
Yeah. So it's.
So you really, really made a lot of work.
Yeah, I did. Then. And here's one of the things. Most of the time I lean on people I know and I can trust. This car, I went some avenues that I didn't know anybody. So I asked around and I just kept making phone calls until I found people. And then when I finally found the number to the person that can actually do that, I was like, okay, here's my timeline. And I said, if you promise me that this timeline can be met, then let's go ahead. But if it can't, just please tell me now because I don't want to get my hopes up. I would say for the 80%, I'm 70%, I'm on track with people that I've kind of gone outside of the UTV industry and kind of pulled from. But at the end of the day, you know, I kind of a little bit had backup plans, but it was like, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, like I'm building a car. And for me, the car is like, even the smallest of details make or break the car for me. You know what I mean? So if it's not aesthetically pleasing and it's not a complete package, I feel like I wasted all that energy. So for me, it's hard. And I'm learning really quick that, you know, adapting is actually a good thing for me because it's putting me in an uncomfortable spot that I don't like to be in, but it's also the real world. And I need to learn to basically, you know, kind of just work myself through it mentally and, you know, aesthetically pleasing for myself. So it's,
yeah, totally. Well, when you say that, like one thing I caught there was like the real world, right? So also take into consideration all of the guys on the other end, like wheel companies or any type of vendor. Like, those guys are also fighting the same battle, maybe not necessarily doing builds, but providing for all of the different builds. Like you said, Billy, you're one in 100 that are doing the build, right? You know, Brent has different needs, but still, all of those companies are trying to produce.
And I always take into consideration, I always tell myself, like, if tracking is late, I don't yell at the UPS driver. I don't call and complain, because guess what? At the end of the day, this is a first world problem. We're building a really cool machine, but there's also a million other people that need things. There could be a mother that her formula is late, or diapers, or an elderly couple that need their medicine. So, you know what I mean? And it's all coming through the postal system. So at the end of the day, you just kind of got to roll with the punches and go with the flow.
Dude, 100%. You know,
well, if it's one thing I like to see, is Billy uncomfortable. So that's the part I got. He's like, I'm in my uncomfortable state. I'm like, perfect.
Hey, speaking of which.
There he goes, sick with it all day. Just
dude, I don't know if you guys have seen what Billy's doing to his car, but he's seriously building a monster SEMA show car. And it's so insane.
Nobody's seen it. Nobody's seen the color. I've kept it under tight wraps. Like, there's actually a blue towel hanging right here right now, because that has a piece of color on it that I don't want anybody to see. So it's one of those things. Yeah, I'm –
Oh, nice.
It's a –
Oh, Riley just said, always give the delivery guys. That's a pretty good idea.
No joke. Actually. My UPS driver, I've hooked him up with hats and t-shirts. That guy always goes out of his way for me, dude. He's like he dropped off some Deviant parts to me the other day. He's like, oh, I didn't think I was going to make it over here, and I saw your name. He's like, so I drove across town to drop off. I was like, score.
That's awesome. Yes. Yep.
He's like, no, I'm not saving it for tomorrow.
Hey, before I forget, actually, Brent, you complained earlier today that it was 103 in your garage. I actually was going to start this video in a beanie and a thick jacket and some sweats and be like, oh, it's freezing in here. Oh, what's the weather like where you guys
first,
are?
First world
just
problem.
To piss you off.
He's got air conditioning in his garage. Jesus.
Dude, in Lake Elsinore today, I'm feeling the pain too. Yeah. Man. It's about 105 over here in the shop.
So and I had to turn off all the fans. I turned the fan off and just started sweating. I was like, this is going to suck.
Dude, yeah, I'm sweating. Yeah, I'm sweating too. Hey, do you guys have the ability to take your phone to kind of show us the progress and give us like an update on what's going on?
No,
Billy,
I'll not be able
to show us.
I'll show some things. I got some things taped off, so there's not – yeah, I'm good.
Let's go, Billy. I want to see that thing. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, is this one of those things you show me?
Oh, yeah. I'm
going to
see what he reveals, and then I'll...
Okay. I mean, there's not a lot to see. Can you guys see? So there's some wiring down in here.
Oh, wow. Steering wheel. What's that yellow? What's that yellow center console there? What's that?
Hey, that's just tape. Don't look at that. That's just some masking tape.
All right.
There's not a lot to
Ooh,
see.
Ooh, I
yet.
Like it.
I do have some ZRP parts.
So are all the parts. Let's see those bad boys.
Okay.
Ooh, those are looking good. Oh, he's even got a protective, Brent. He's even keeping it clean, just like you said.
I'm telling you, SEMA build, dude. I'm like out of the bubble wrap, throw it on the car. Let's go. SC1, we're good.
I can't show you the other side because there's already actually some painted plastics on that side. So, all right, that's all you get to see for now. And my bikes. When I do these builds, like, I don't think people realize I have the tiniest garage. I have my wife's and my bike hanging up right here. So when I go to the passenger side of the car, it's a duck down every time. And I got yelled at by my wife because I left her bike out in the rain one time and I knew I could never do that again. So now the bike stays and I work around it.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get some angles so you can't see how messed up my garage is, because there's parts just overflow.
I'm getting close here.
It's driving me nuts
everywhere.
I haven't had time to like reset my garage until I can get the car on its wheels and out of the garage. So it's driving me nuts. But let me flip the camera here. So I do have something that I'm very excited about. I don't know anyone that's done this yet, but we put full train horns under the hood of my Can-Am.
Oh my god.
So if you don't hear my stereo behind you or my train horns, We're taking you for a ride.
I want to hit that horn when you're descending it. Full. I want like 100 feet into the jump. Just lay on the horn.
So that's the plan.
Does the train horn work right
button
now?
So I could hit it in the air. So I put it on the floor.
Nice. Oh, it does work. So you can just kick it.
Seriously, just rattled my ears. But yeah, I got the new Rockford Fosgate Stage 6 stereo in here. Got the new new radios from Rugged and Calms in. New Simpson seats with the suede and the seat heaters for the wifey.
Nice.
These aren't bolted in. I just set them in for the show. This is on my list for today to try to get in. If not, I'm okay with doing it tomorrow. Rear seat, nothing crazy. Oh wait, let me show you some underglow lights on the race car. So. Yeah, right.
Oh, big flag.
And then, we're waiting on a lot of parts back here. So it's, look at this.
Oh, train horns, dude.
Right
where
the exhaust used to go.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, you got a lot done.
We're getting there, bro. We're definitely getting there. But I mean, the amount of parts I still have, that seat's almost mounted. So, but,
almost means one bolt might be left out. So don't ever ride back, rear.
No.
The brackets are
mounted, yeah. But it's not bolted in yet. So it's like, you know, I'm trying to figure out the height with the rugged or the Rockford stereo underneath of it. Like my front seats have to be fixed mounted. So they're lower because the roof of the truck comes down so low. Like I have to have these seats as low as they go. So I made special mounts. So this basically sits on the sub, like super low.
It butts like up to it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, I mean, but dude, look at my, here, just so you guys know, this is what I'm dealing with in the backyard. Like, there's my coilovers. There's crap everywhere, bro. Like, it's brutal, but that's about it.
Dude, that's great. You did make a lot of progress.
We're getting there, dude.
That's rad.
We're hustling hard over here. So I got it.
All right. So, as we talk about the process and the progress and like all of the people that you guys deal with, maybe give us a couple examples of people that came through and totally helped out, like maybe gave you guys something faster than it would have really been or, you know, tried to make parts quicker or anything like that. Cause like you guys both said, like the industry really, really bands together. There's a lot of camaraderie and stuff that happens, dude. And that's something that's really meaningful to me.
Yeah. Bill, you want to start? I'll go.
No, nope, go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, I got a long list, man. UTV Life, this new company that we're introducing to the off-road world, is kind of going to change the game for UTVs. I'm not allowed to say anything big about it right now, but they have come through and helped me financially a lot with getting the car ready and getting parts that were kind of out of my budget. So huge shout out to those guys. SF Raceworks, these guys right here, dude, stepped up super hard, signed me up about 3 weeks ago, built me a full race legal cage for the car, and then took it one step further. And, you know, cause I have to tab out the whole cage for the body. And, they're like, bring me the chassis. So I took the chassis up there and they tabbed it all out and made the body all bitchin', built new front bumper out the front so we can mount the train horns and, you know, mounted a bunch of other stuff. Super, super cool, humble guys, just willing to turn wrenches and lending it and, you know, a helping hand, to the point where I found out I needed a motor and, you know, they saw how devastated I was that I needed a motor and they gave me a loaner to go use for UTV Takeover. So huge shout out to those guys. Awesome crew. Deviant Race Parts, UTV guys out of a small shop out of Idaho. They've been throwing me all my upper lower control arms, sway bar links, stuff of that. MTS, they did all my suspension in record time. KWI just did my clutching in like a day, which was awesome. I was super stressed. I wasn't going to have those till like probably next Friday, or they were going to bring them to Coos Bay. So super happy there. Rugged Radios is one. Simpson stepped up this year. They got me new seats and harnesses, full race suit with neck restraints and helmets. Since they saw me. Yeah. They saw me send it. Where was I at? UTV Takeover in San Hollow. And I think we did 137 feet, but the car dug really hard, dude. And I like seriously got whiplash bad because I didn't have neck restraints on. So Jason Price stepped up and helped me out. Rockford Fosgate, same thing with them. They stepped up to get me the new stereo to go showboating, and like they were having trouble getting kits together. So I was like, I got like 3/4 of the kit and then like a part and then another part. Like they were just trying to get me stuff, you know? So it's been hard. Concept powder coating, they stepped up really hard and they're getting all my stuff powder coated, so it's all race ready and nice. God, I know I'm forgetting somebody, but yeah, all my homies too. A ton of my homies have been over here turning Dude. Wrenches late nights, helping me just like pulling together. So if I forgot you, I'm sorry. I love you. I'm super tired. it's really hot out here. I'm dying right now.
Yeah, and it's past his bedtime.
When I hear
no, dude, 7:40, bro. 7:40. You got an hour.
Dude, when I hear that though, that makes me happy because like that's not just like a few people. That's a shitload of people, right? Like, and all your friends and homies and family and stuff, like. They all have other stuff to do, man. So it's cool that they're dedicating the resources and really trying to help. And Billy,
yes,
I'm sure you have
too. My local dealership, Roseville Polaris and Yamaha. They always take care of me. They took care of me on my car. Any parts that I need, they'll special order it and they'll overnight it for me. HCR Racing, they always, you know, Brandon and Chris and all those guys over there, they always take care of me. So I can't thank them enough. Brandon's now a really good friend of mine that, you know, we spend a lot of time and he's actually the only reason that I actually know how to rock crawl. And I get people all the time. They're like, you're a dune guy. You don't know how to rock crawl. Well, it's thanks to Brandon. So
do you know how to rock crawl? I've seen some videos, bro.
Yeah, but most of the time it's only the bad videos because when you do something good, it doesn't actually look that good. You're just
totally
like,
messing,
bro. Let's move on.
I'm totally playing. I've never actually seen you rock crawl. I'm kidding.
Didn't Billy tell you he's already enrolled?
But I actually did just enroll. There's this thing called the UTV Conquest. It's a 3-day adventure on the Rubicon. So I am actually doing that August 2nd through the 4th. Yeah.
Whoa. So,
and I'm going to do that in a brand new bone stock Polaris Razor Turbo R 4-seater that actually now everybody knows I have a 4-seat Turbo R on order. So,
hey, wait.
Yeah.
Quick question. Did you name your car?
Yes.
What did the guy tell everyone the name? I thought it was clever.
Destroy R. So it's like a Pro R, Destroy R. Nothing to do with doing and destroy, John, in your face.
Destroyer.
No, when I saw your post today, I was like, he's like, working on the Destroyer. I was like, ooh, that was cool.
Yeah, yep. And then when I reveal the car, everything will make sense, I promise. For me, like, the name means just as much as the build. So for me, it's not, I like I said, you know, like I get super, super creative and I probably go way overboard, but it's kind of like, I'm my own worst enemy. I always try to top my last build in so many, you know, and in a lot of small ways. So for me, it's.
Well, dude, like just knowing the name, like, I feel like everybody wouldn't want to park their car next to you. Like I have my unicorn build. I wouldn't want to park it next to the Destroyer.
Oh, so yeah, no, it'll be a fun car. And I mean, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you're actually going to drive that? Hell yeah, I'm going to drive it and I'm going to drive it hard. So I love building the cars, but I also like putting them to their use and not just having them sit in a corner and be on display. So,
so does that mean you're going to send it at Huckfest up in Coos?
Hey, I'm going to enter a couple of the events. I don't know that I like being off the ground. Like I might do the wheelie contest or something, but I mean,
really?
Well, I mean, would it be like lame if I just like went out there and like sent it like 30 feet?
No.
What if I?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Hey, everyone's got to start somewhere, bro. My first jump is normally like my smallest one, just so I can feel it out, you know?
Right. Yep.
So you got to go wood, dude.
Here's the trick, Billy.
You got to go wood.
TBD.
Wednesday.
TBD.
Wednesday, we'll go out and we'll find some jumps and go test.
Okay. I'm down with that. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, and I think the other hard.
You got to have a certain set of suspension and a certain set of components.
No, I'm just
used to that.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, dude, why do you go so hard? I'm like, it's not me. But this guy doesn't listen. It just goes to the floor. And I'm like, no.
And I think if I can get the car.
Oh, Kristen's saying hard pass, Billy. I don't know if you're going to get terrorists.
Requesting a flyby?
She's actually in the house right now watching this. So she can probably actually hear my voice over her actual phone that she's probably watching it on.
Nice.
So I think, the other hard part too is, I mean, I'm not afraid to use the car, but I also don't want any, like, where do you get Pro R parts? You just don't. So,
no,
you know, if I do something stupid, then I'm pretty much out the rest of the trip. And until I know that I have a certain amount of parts in my trailer, then I'll probably kind of be on, I'll play it on the safe side.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean,
yeah, dude, I agree with that 100%. Because you want to ride.
I got to take it easy on my car, too, because the fall. So we come back that Monday. That following Thursday, I leave to Glen Helen to go race the Freedom Cup in the car. So, like, I don't want to wad the car because we got to go racing the next weekend.
But you'll have, so, like, four, you'll have like 4 days in between.
Hey, give me an idea.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in, dude. Let's go.
Hey, give me an idea of, like, how do I say this? Like, basically, you guys are building the cars for different reasons, right? You guys have different agendas or riding styles. You're going to be doing different events at the UTV Takeover, like that kind of stuff. So give me an idea, like, what the mental process is to make sure that you're getting it built. Like, you, dude, Brent's building his to Big Flex with the lights and all that stuff, but also to send it. Like, there's a big difference in both of your guys' builds.
Yeah. It's a little nerve-wracking, to be honest. Like, now that I'm, you know, now that we're putting such a gnarly cage on the car and window nets, and, you know, the car's going to be really, really safe for me to send it. Like, a lot plays along with that. Like, I don't want to push it too hard now, you know, and end up doing something where I end up, you know, breaking my back or getting hurt. You know, I'm no stranger to injury from racing Supercross. So I've gotten multiple broken bones, broken my neck a couple times. But I'm definitely not trying to do the same thing. And so, you know, I think for me, like, building it with a little bit of show and go on it kind of helps me take it down a notch. You know what I mean? If it was just like a full jump car, I would go out there and I would push it to the limit. But since it's not just a full jump car, like, I'm going to go play with short cars. I'll do Huck Fest. I'm not trying to set records like Al Macbeth, but, you know, I definitely want to give the fans something to see. So that's kind of,
yeah, that's actually a really good point, too. Yeah, like, if you come out in an Al Macbeth car, there's no other way to do it. I mean, you're just full.
Yeah, I
drove
the whole
time.
In San Hollow, I was like, because he wasn't going to jump. I'm like, let me take a spin on that thing. Dude, maybe I'll jump it for you. And I drove that thing, and it was a handful. I was like, my car's 17 feet long, dude. It's a limo. That thing just goes straight. As long as there's no headwind, like, if it floats pretty easily, but if there's a headwind, the hood's like a sail and it just, like, loops out. You're like, oh, this is bad.
So you'd have, like, some vent holes cutting it.
Matt Red.
I got some.
So you don't kite. Matt Red said,
not Matt Red. That guy doesn't even take his car out of low.
And I don't even know who Matt Red is, so I'm gonna go with Brent on this one.
I'm pretty sure that you can wheelie longer than I am. My car's too long; it doesn't wheelie.
Yeah, and he has a 4-seater, and I have a 2-seater, and so it's, I mean, there's gonna be definitely things that his car is gonna be better at, and my car is gonna be better in probably the polar opposites of those aspects.
So, who do you think?
Well, that's one of the things that, like, that I think is so cool. Like, you guys are building them for totally different reasons, but you're kind of in the same, I don't know. You guys still are fighting all the same problems. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yes, yeah, and
about.
I think so many people that are watching this will relate to this, because if they're not building one right now, they've built one in the past, and they've gone through this. And I know somebody commented the other night on your post the other night saying, like, I wouldn't even build a car right now with the part shortages and everything like that. Like, you'd just be stuck in the waiting game. And that is very true. But you know what? Also, yep, at the same time, all these manufacturers are doing everything they can. Believe me, they want to take your money and they want to sell you their product. So don't think they're just like, we don't want to sell to you or you or you. They want to sell to everyone. So they're working as hard as they possibly can to bring you parts across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And then, so, Brent, you're getting pretty close, man. You basically redid this whole car, and you're going to have a new motor in. Like, when do you think you're going to actually have it done? You think you're going to be working on it when you pull up to the event?
No.
You're going to have it done before that?
No, I don't want to work on it when I get there. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some work that needs to be done when we get there, testing, tuning, and stuff like that, you know? But I mean, that's whenever we go anywhere, you got to set up for the terrain you're on. But I definitely want to try and have this thing, like, ready to run before it goes in the trailer Friday. So
what's a suggestion that you would give me and the people that are listening or watching the show just like to help them do that same thing? Like if I was building my race car and I didn't have the parts before the race and I had deliverables that I had to meet for my sponsors, what suggestions?
Work around them. You know what I mean? Like there's always avenues. You buy used parts to get you through the race, or, you know, lean on other racers to borrow parts or something. But I mean, just, you just got to keep pushing and, you know, find the best avenue that'll work with you as far as getting your car ready, and then just put in the hours and you'll get there. It's a commitment thing, you know?
Yeah, dude, 100%. Yeah. Phone a friend, look on social media, look on OfferUp, look everywhere you can for those parts. And there's usually somebody that can do it. I know that there's always guys that hold parts, at the races, all kinds of different stuff. So just ask as many people as possible. Shoot.
Yeah. Hit us up. Brent, you need parts. I mean, yeah. Shoot, a great forum to ask on is Desert Whips. Nick Farmer runs Desert Whips on Facebook. They have like 50,000 members. And every Desert Whipper that's on there is always down to help another whipper. Like, super great community. Love them. So.
Yeah, and I also, to that same point.
TR Walker 2 said, where are you guys ride these days?
What's that?
Ride these at?
Where do we ride them?
TR Walker said, where do you guys ride them? Well, these ones are going straight to UTV Takeover, but what about
Glamis, Dumont, Sand Hollow? I mean, all like the big events and the main riding places, I'm sure both the cars will be at.
Yeah, we do a lot of riding up here locally too, Jawbone, Ridgecrest, Cal City. So that's like most of our little stomping grounds. It's easy to get to from my house. But yeah, we do Glamis a couple times a year. I'm not a big Dumont fan. Too small and the Razorbacks suck.
but they're paving the road in. I won't go back until they pave the road. But that's actually happening. You drive into Dumont and your motorhome literally falls apart like right when you pull up to the Ranger station from the washboard road.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's actually being paved. So I think I'll probably go there a little bit more. So nice.
Wait a sec. So Kristen said that they're having an ice cream social.
So it hasn't been announced yet, but they're going to do there's a couple of companies that are doing it. I'll make sure I get you guys the information, but there's going to be an ice cream social and I believe hot dogs at UTV Takeover, but they're going to basically let everybody know the day and time to be out there, but it'll be somewhere out in the dunes.
Dude, I am always down for some ice cream.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it's all you can eat. I mean, as long as you like keep getting in line, there's not like a wristband or anything. So if you can eat 10 hot dogs, maybe we need to do like a hot dog contest out there.
I'm not doing that.
That would be awesome. I think hot dog contests are the best, dude. There's so much that can go wrong in
Brent's got to fit into his suit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no. Shit, I got one of those Truly Otter Pops in my freezer calling my name right now as I'm sweating.
So I will get you guys the information on the ice cream social that's going to take place.
Cool.
That sounds fun.
So a couple of people, what's up, Jackie? How are you? Stoked and Shred said, need to get out to UTV Takeover. Kristen said she's in. Chuck from Crow Eagle said, ice cream and hot dogs. Wicked combo.
We still got you. I got you. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you get? Okay, cool. Sick with it all day says, I'm with Brett, ice cream. Yeah, dude.
Well, maybe we need to have an ice cream eating contest then.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Some serious.
Can you imagine
the brain freeze?
Yeah, dude.
I was just thinking that everybody's gonna have brain freeze and be all crooked when they're driving home.
Oh, no, sir, I haven't had anything to drink. I just ate 18 ice cream cones.
Right. Yeah. Jeez.
Let me circle back real quick.
It sounds like you guys are gonna have
quick. Going back to your point about talking to people about what they can do. I think where there's a will, there's a way. Never give up. If you keep looking, you will find what you're looking for. Just nowadays, it's a little bit harder, and you're going to find that one person that really wants to help you or understands because they've been in your position. And I've done that many a times where I'll help somebody because I've been in their same exact position and I know how it feels. So just wanting to basically pay it forward or pay it back is a good thing. And that's what this community is really good at. So
Yeah. And you know what? That comes down to that mindset, yeah. right? Like if you have a negative mindset, like, oh, I'm not going to finish this. There's no way this is going to work out. It for sure is not going to work out. You have to go into it every day. Like this is going to happen. I'm going to make this happen. And as long as you keep doing that and working towards that goal, like you'll get there, you know?
Yeah. Life's a garden. Dig it.
Yeah. Dude. I just watched a Joe Dirt meme today too. So, I think that goes a long way though. And don't think that you're being a nuisance. Just keep doing what you want to do. If they don't want to help, they don't want to help, whether you ask them or not. That's not going to, on the other side of the spectrum. I remember there was a million times, and one time specifically, we were trying to get a 2016 Yamaha YXZ ready for a race because it got smoked the race before. And we only had a week to build a brand new car. I stayed up for 3 days in a row, never slept, hardly even ate, and got the car done before we went to the race. We put like the stickers on in the parking lot at the races. We went out and won the race. And then so the next week we got to do all the detail work. So there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Like,
yeah, those are like, yep, those are the best situations, right? You're like, God, we just put in all this work and then everything just starts moving flawlessly. And you're like, oh, we won the race. Like everything worked out.
It doesn't seem like it's moving flawlessly, but it's the vibe. It's the vibe that kicks in and everybody's part of that. Right. And then the team is like coming together and like everything's happening. So when you guys show up to UTV Takeover, it's just going to be that massive, like, conglomeration of everybody being like, yes, you got it done. Sick. Like, let's go.
If you guys haven't been to one of these UTV takeovers, you got to get to one, man. But the people that put this on, Steve McCarthy and Jim, and you know, all the volunteers that they have, they're just, it's an amazing crew of awesome, like-minded people. Just tons of fun.
Yeah. It's a great spectator event. Oh, go ahead.
Billy, what is there?
Oh, I was going to say it's a great spectator event, and the riding up in Coos Bay is epic, and I would relate it to their dunes aren't really, really big, so if you're looking for glamorous type stuff, that's not the place. But if you can imagine riding in the sand but trail riding in the trees in the sand, it is like nothing you've ever seen, and it's so fun. I mean, it's and there's miles and miles of it.
I tell everyone it's like riding in the small part of Glamis in Yosemite at Pismo. You're like, yes. You're on the beach. They're like wait, what? I'm like, yeah. All three of those.
You're like, what it's like. I just mind effed you.
Dude, but that sounds so, it sounds so relaxing.
Pure bliss.
Fun.
Once you get to like Shasta, like Northern California, dude, the scenery just cruising. Like, I know it's like another 300 some miles or something when you cross the border, but like.
But you just feel it.
You're just cruising, dude, through the trees and the mountains. And just like, oh, everything's green. Like, it's so gorgeous. Right. And then when you pull into Coos Bay, you come over this massive like suspension bridge thing, and you're just like, we made it, dude. It's the best feeling ever. It's
and
so,
the dunes are just
so
right awesome. There. You're just like, there it is. I'm here. Done.
Yeah. Super, super cool.
Dude, that's so cool. Dude, there's been a bunch of people that keep asking about you getting ready.
Who?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That ain't gonna happen.
Brent. Hey, that's my response if anybody was wondering if I was getting a Can-Am.
So I'll tell you why. So I like being low in my car. Like, there's pros and cons to Razors and Can-Ams. I've driven them both. Polaris is a great car. Love them. It's just not my driving style. I feel like I'm up too high and too tall in the car, and it feels uncomfortable for me. I like being low in the car because I drive most of the time really fast in the desert. So it feels a lot safer and manageable in my car as opposed to a Polaris. So, like, a Polaris, way easier to drive in the dunes than a Can-Am, 100%. So, like, they have their pros and cons, but I really like the Can-Am platform, and I'm excited to see what they answer to as far as what the Pro-R came out with. I mean, Pro-R is bad. I drove one in King of Hammers. It was insane. I was stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see Billy get his done, too. Billy, was there something else that you wanted to talk about before we – yeah, we're already going on an hour now, so I want to let you guys get back to work. I know you guys have a little bit of stuff to keep done.
I think I'm good. If for some reason I don't make it to UTV Takeover, it's 100% on me, because guess what? I had a perfectly brand-new car with 100 miles on it that I decided to do this to. So people are like, are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you can't do it in time. And I'm like, challenge accepted. I'll take your challenge. I should have bet people a dollar. I'd probably at least have $1,000 for people that told me I couldn't do it. So.
Dude, yeah. If you took bets, that would have been good.
I had to get the Jesse James tattoo, the pay up sucker on my hand.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Kristen said also graduation.
My nephew's graduating and we're actually late for it. But happy graduation? Congratulations on graduating to my nephew, Austin. So
congratulations, graduation.
I like it. Tongue twister.
But yeah, man, I think you guys are both like really, really, how do I say this? Adventurous for trying to attack builds like you guys are right now, man. The limited availability of products. I mean, I see it all the time when I'm here at IMG like 3 times a week, right? And so I see it all the time, man. So I can't believe that you guys are actually doing this and getting it done.
Thanks, man.
Kudos to both of you.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. Yeah, and I leaned on a lot of companies for Pro R parts that didn't exist. So, like I said, that's probably the 15 people that'll never talk to me again. But I promise I'm going to do your product right.
Hey, I know somebody that does have inventory just logged on, Mason over at Seal Savers. So hit him up if you guys need to have any wraps on your guys' shocks and CV.
I know Mason. Like what's up, Mason?
Mason, nice to meet you.
But yeah, man, I think you guys are really adventurous trying to get all this stuff done. But the best part about it is when you guys get to UTV Takeover and these bad boys
get to go rip.
Yeah, and that's what all the hundreds of hours of work leads up to. Is, you know, just getting out there with everybody, and it's the vibe, it's the people, it's, you know, it's all of it. So it's all worth it in the end.
It's all worth it as soon as the rear door hits the sand, the car comes out, it's all worth it.
Yes. Yep.
Dude. Yeah. That's the best part is getting ready to unload the car. Right. And you're just like, show everybody.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, thanks for having me on, man. We appreciate it.
I think the audio.
You gotta say it again, Brent.
Oh, there you go. Well, I just want to say thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, man. You guys are solid. Love your show, Billy. Can't wait to see your car when it's done, dude. Hurry up, and I'm gonna keep wrenching on this thing.
You love my show. You love my show too, right?
No, I don't watch that. I have you blocked. Your show's amazing, bro.
Hey.
Oh.
I appreciate you guys even coming on the show and sharing this story. I think it was actually pretty cool that we got the opportunity to talk about it. I've been wanting to get you on for a long time, Brent, and Billy's been a part of the show a couple times. So I'll always appreciate the support from you guys and for everybody that's listening. So I can't wait to see the cars, man. I'm sure you guys are going to post.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yep. And we'll get some photos and videos together. So for all you intermingled Can-Am/Polaris lovers, we got something coming for you. So
that's right.
Yep. Oh, perfect. All right.
We'll do. Yeah. And I wanted to add real quick before we go, if anybody has any questions or needs help with anything, I'm sure myself and Brent would be more than happy to answer any questions. So shoot us a DM, you know, if we can ever do anything to help you. And same with George. I know George would be more than willing to help you too. So
yeah, 100%.
I think I answered about 999 DMs already.
Right.
Today, so that was a
flex, bro.
I answered 4.
Dude, the amount of DMs is just insane, but I love it because it means that everybody cares.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone out there has questions, man, I'm an open book and I'm easy.
Oh, wait, Rhino 134, dude, check it out, homie.
Oh, is that his new car?
That's his car. No, well, I don't know about new car. It's a turbo.
Check out that fuel cell
right there. So
it's a nice little fuel cell under there. Yeah, let's see that.
Oh, you guys want to see it?
Oh, nice.
That's clean.
There's a good shout out for Mason right there with the Seal Savers. Big flex on the billet wheels.
God, the billet wheels are coming back, dude. I love it.
They're coming along, aren't they?
I got no metal. I hate the color of metal. Everything on my car is either painted or powder coated. I don't like metal look.
We had somebody on the show the other day talk about just straight chrome everything.
Oh, my, that's all like my nightmare. If I buy something with chrome, I'm like, get it off. How do you get this stuff off here?
You don't,
sandblast
you don't
it
like,
off there and paint it.
You don't like the look of plastic either because all your plastic's painted or powder coated.
That is true, yes.
Hey, you know what I've always thought would be kind of cool? Maybe since Billy has the OCD, next car could, instead of Destroyer, could be OCD.
We could probably do that. I think this car could actually be dubbed OCD.
Yeah. I'm stoked because you guys are doing both two different projects, and I can't wait to see them, man. I'm really pumped that you guys wanted to talk about
it. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Help a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. Appreciate your time, George, and thank you for facilitating this for me and Brent. And, yeah. We'll definitely, we'll get you some good content once we both get up to Oregon. I'll be up there a couple of days early, probably sitting at my campsite, having a few White Claws or something while still finishing the car. But nonetheless,
make
I'll
sure,
be camping.
Make sure it's done before I get there because I'm not bringing any tools to help.
Dude, I got a whole trailer full of tools. If I can't fix it with the tools I got, it ain't getting fixed.
Oh, sweet. So I'll leave my tools at home then.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Perfect. Yeah. So all you got to do is just load up as many White Claw Otter Pops or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
White Claw popsicles. You're good to go.
Those are Brent's. I drink it like a man out of a skinny can and a skinny koozie. Right.
Spoken like a true champ, true White Claw champion. Hey, Mason said Cowboy Deluxe, best content comes when NSYNC is playing. Is that true?
That was a Mint 400. We were with Joel from Dirt Design, and you know, I always make noise on the microphone and everything. And Joel from Dirt Design, he gets down to NSYNC, bro. Gets down. Like, oh my God, he
really
kills it. It's seriously the best thing you've ever seen. So yeah.
That's hilarious. Dude, the music industry or the off-road industry has like the craziest music, dude. Like I've known how long, but basically, like the last month, I've understood that almost everybody likes Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber. And I'm like, dude, what?
T-Dizzle.
Dude, so
T-Sizzle.
Check this out. Hey, Nick Farmer from Desert Whips, if you go in his playlist, all he listens to is Taylor Swift when he's mobbing through the dunes. That's all it's on his playlist.
Dude, it's like a symphony.
So I was shaking my head because all these, we were pre-running in Baja. We did like 1,000 miles in Baja a couple weeks ago, and like we're going around and like all of these songs keep coming up. I'm like Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, all these songs. And I'm like, does everybody like this? And everybody's like dancing, like having a good time. I'm like, dude, what the heck is wrong with me? Because I listen to punk rock. I'm like, I don't know what like even vibe to this.
Hey, just watch and learn. Watch and learn.
He's like, so he's in the back seat. This is uncomfortable, guys. This is uncomfortable.
They're like, George, have another White Claw.
All right, boys. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. What are you gonna
me
be bumping?
So there's this
YouTube takeover.
You know, I like a lot of like dance music. I like everything, bro. I like listen to country. I listen to some punk rock and metal when I'm driving. That's about the only time I can listen to that. Otherwise, I lose my mind. I don't know, like EDM, like remix, like mashups. Like there's this new DJ right now, Sick Kick, dude. It's just crushing these remixes. Like I can't get enough of them. Like literally, it sounds like a club in my garage while I'm wrenching on my car. It's just doom, 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 doom. I'm like,
dude, helps you get this stuff done faster. But I can only imagine if it like you get a song that just gets you.
I just stop. That's when I walk away and I'm like, I should go eat or something. My blood sugar's low. Calm down. Reset.
Yeah, but that is a good. That is a good
that's
point
you
to
need.
Make. Is that you know like the music sets the tone. You know, when we're building these cars, I'm the same thing.
Yeah.
My neighbors probably hate me. My stereo is always on, blaring. It's just like setting the mood and setting the pace for the evening of work. And then sometimes you look down and you're like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I have to get up in the morning.
Oh, dude, I get a text message from my wife around 9, like, hey, you should probably turn the music off because of the neighbors.
But that's what I was going to kind of lean on was like, you have all this music playing in the garage, right? But then when you get out there, I bet the vibe is totally different.
No,
because you're done.
It's funny because like the last 2 months coming up to this event, I'm already thinking about songs that I want to play in my car while I'm running stuff. So I already have a.
Oh, so you're I'm testing building
the whole time. I'm like, that I'm adding to the playlist. That I'm adding to the playlist. That way, when I get there, I just hit the Coos Bay and let it go. Like, yeah.
Nice, dude.
Double and I, yep. And I just hit one shuffle stone. On my 10,000 songs, and if I don't like a song, I hit next. So it's kind of like a crapshoot. You never know what you're gonna get. You might get something weird, and then you get some like 80s rock song, and then it goes to like a hard rap song, and then a really hard like EDM song, and people are like, "What is going on with your stereo, dude? Just pick a genre and stick with it." I'm like, "No, yeah,
that's mine. That's."
Sometimes you can get yourself in trouble too, because if a song comes on that you're like, "Whoa, I didn't even know that was on here."
I just blame those. I'm like, "Oh, that's my daughter. She added that one." So,
right on. Oh, that'd be funny. He come out to like the night fest or whatever.
Oh God! That's what song I will never play in my car, dude. I hate that song. God, no.
Oh, I can just see somebody sabotaging.
I know. Yeah. Now that I said that.
Now I know where I'm going to download actually a little audio file, slide it on your USB plug on your Rockford system.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what's going to happen is you're going to pass out from White Claws, and I'm going to go link up to your stereo. So when we go on rides, I can turn your stereo on and just play my music. You'll be like, what is happening?
Hey, no.
Watch you see Kristen in the passenger seat. She's like, all angry. Ready to rip.
Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, he keeps saying, next song. These aren't my songs. I don't understand.
My wife will be wagging me. Turn it back. All right.
Thank you. That's so funny. All right, boys. Well, hey, keep going with your guys' builds. And yeah, man, I can't wait to see them at the end of the day or at UCB Takeover. It's going to be
awesome. Sounds good, man.
Appreciate you guys coming out.
All right, guys. Catch you have a good evening.
Yep.
Late. Thanks, guys. See ya. All right, man. Whew. It's getting hot in this garage in Lake Elsinore. Thanks to the guys at IMG. Thanks to Rhino134 for having this car. Appreciate it. Thank you guys for joining us, hanging out, talking with Brent Gilliam and Billy Slade. Let us know what you guys think of their cars when they get released. We'll see you on Monday. Oh, on Monday we have a Dirt Life show. We're going to talk all about driving technique, too. That's going to be rad. So we'll see you guys Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Dirt Life show. See you next week.